Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 29th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 44, and we'll be reading the first paragraph beginning with In the Preceding Chapters. I will be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Liat T.D., who will be reading the 12 steps. Cindy K. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Darian K., Jordan L., and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, July 28th, special edition, is 13,209. That's 13209. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,210. That's 13210. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Liat T.D. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and how to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
And thank you, Liat T.D. Cindy K., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K., recovered in Kansas City, Missouri. Our 12 traditions are: Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Tradition 2, our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in the matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Tradition 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the levels of press, radio, and film. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a good day, and thanks for letting me serve.
And thank you, Cindy K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in a new chapter, We Agnostics, on page 44, and we'll be reading the first paragraph and commenting on the first paragraph only that begins with in the preceding chapters. So I will now ask Darian K. to begin reading, please.
Hi there, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, hi there, Darian K. I'm from the Berkshires, Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. In the preceding chapters, we have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And for me, first, I need to say they talked about the preceding chapters, hoping that you learned something, we learned something. And I so appreciate the fact that there were stories that gave me sort of a black and white example of what I could relate to. You know, I'm definitely a visual learner, and, you know, anytime a teacher gave me examples or modeled things, I always learned better than just sort of straight up directions and talk. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that they were really clear-cut examples of what I could relate to. You know, I really understand the part about alcoholic versus non-alcoholic, you know, food addict versus non-food addict. I live with someone every day who just leaves food on his plate or lets food go stale or, you know, forgets about food in the fridge. Imagine that. And it just shows me, you know, how different I am with the food and how much more time I put into thinking about it and obsessing about it. And before program, should I eat this? Shouldn't I eat this? You know, all of that kind of stuff. So I am definitely of the alcoholic variety. You know, when it comes to food. And the word, you know, entirely, I circled that, you know, quit entirely. Before program, my entirely meant maybe Monday through Thursday, because, you know, Friday started the weekends and, you know, you don't diet on the weekends. or just having a little bit of something, like big deal, right? So when I see the word quitting entirely, I really, I'm grateful for the program, you know, that I have today that shows me what entire abstinence is and that I need to stay away from those foods a day at a time that bring on that phenomenon of craving for me. You know, it could be different for all of us, but I had to make sure that I was honest with my sponsor from the get-go about what foods trigger my craving. And that's really important as we start this process. You know, and I have little control, especially over amounts. I am definitely a quantity eater, and so for me, I measure my food. And when I didn't, I've been in program since 1986, so it's been a long time, and I thought maybe 10 years, 12 years in, I didn't have to measure my food anymore. I knew what 4 ounces looked like. I gained 40 pounds, so I guess I don't really know what an amount looks like. So I went back to the basics, so that was important for me to remember. And then the last part about the spiritual experience will conquer, you know, it will conquer. What we have, and I looked up the word conquer, and it said overcome, defeat, subdue, you know, and it also compared it to climbing a mountain. Yep, climbing a mountain, conquering a mountain, and so sometimes it feels that way for me, you know, but it's a good feeling too, right? When you're climbing a mountain, you get to the top, you feel like you've accomplished something, and so with my higher power on a daily basis, which is the spiritual piece, that is how I have what I have today, peace and serenity, and I'm freedom from the food. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Darianne. Thanks for getting us started. So who else would like to share on page 44, the first paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Blaine C.
Lane C.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Cassie W.
Cassie W.
Sandy W.
And Sandy W. The W's are bringing
got
us
the
up
W's,
in the end.
Yes. I had to jump in.
Any more W's? Okay, that's a good lineup to start with. So I have Donna B, Kathy G, Elaine C, Laura W, Kathy W, and Sandy W. So go ahead, Donna B.
Thank you. This is Donna B, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. Thank you for everyone's service and for the beautiful opening. What strikes me is if when you honestly want to, and I think that the preceding chapters help me to determine if I really am a real compulsive overeater, and as a result of that, if I am willing and if I honestly want to be free from the bondage of this disease, which is really a prerequisite to doing the work that is expected of me in order to find freedom from the disease of compulsive overeating. I believe that the work that's involved, that's dictated, that's suggested in the book and from my sponsors and from my recovered fellows is life-altering work that requires a commitment to changing everything, and allowing my higher power to change everything about me and the way that I live my life and my thinking. As I've had the experience of being entirely abstinent for a meaningful period of time, what I find most challenging in my program is how powerless I am over my thinking. That this is a disease that centers in my mind. And I am suffering from an illness that centers in my mind, and it is only a spiritual experience that can transform my thinking. Someone recently shared with me the metaphor of being colorblind, and my uncle is actually colorblind. If I insist that the sky is brown while everybody around me is seeing a blue sky, my experience of the world is limited by the lens in which I see it. So today I earnestly pray for God to direct my thinking, because it is my distorted thinking that isolates me and puts me in a position of pain that really makes the food look like it's a step up and a solution.
Time, please.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna B. Kathy G., you're up next, followed by Elaine C.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Kathleen, and thanks for your joke today. Loved it. It's Kathy G., a grateful, compulsive overeater. Glad to be on the line today. So the word that jumped out, a couple words jumped out at me in this paragraph are a clear distinction, which I found last week that I really needed, and I still had some vagueness in my food, even though I had been abstinent for 2 years, just not being completely clear. I knew that I was alcoholic, you know, in regard to sugar, so clear to me, and by the grace of God, I was able to keep from sugar in this slip that I had last week. But I have to confess that I what happened is I got vague. I was at a Cub game last week, and I got into some self-pity for not being able to be a normal person at the game, and it opened a door, I believe, like a landing strip, I would say, for the illness, and I did not do a 10-step, and my sister was in town, like not in my usual schedule, and because I have this illness, a door was opened, and that thing took a hold of me like a monster in the form of some white flour. And for a day, I was like fighting with the devil is what it felt like. And by the grace of God, it lasted for a portion of a day. And because I was given some grace to make a phone call, get on with my sponsor, and I had some people walk me off the cliff, I was kept from going all the way back over, but man, it was scary. Whew! So I am praying that my experience will benefit others on the line, that we have to be so clear that we are alcoholic, and regardless of how much recovery we have or how much time we had, what I learned is that this is just one day at a time, one choice at a time, one 10th step at a time. And I had to really tighten up my program in some areas. I realized that I was not doing as many 10th steps as I needed to, and I still had some vagueness about certain foods. Really thinking, well, you know, I think that would be okay because I'm not eating these things. Well, God made it very clear to me that I am an alcoholic in regard to these foods that I had, as maybe we would call them yellow light foods or something. And I've heard many people on the line that I respect say, you know, there is no such thing as a yellow light food. Okay, I got it. And the awesome thing is that because of the recovery that I do have, I did not get into self-condemnation. I was able to reach out, up, and over and get pulled back up by the group. And just so grateful to be here today. So thanks for listening. Glad to be back. And I guess. Thanks, Kathleen.
And thank you, Kathy G. So Elaine C., your turn, followed by Laura W.
Thank you so much for your service this morning. And this is Lane C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Rochester, New York. So, what I love about this paragraph is that it gives us just this really clear definition of what alcoholism and compulsive overeating, what addiction looks like for us. So if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. And for me, that was the case. That's what brought me into this program, was that when I felt like I really earnestly wanted to put down the food, I was working with a therapist, I was, you know, beginning to notice that food was an issue for me, and I started, you know, based on self-will, trying to put the food down. And what I found was, when I really wanted to, I could not quit. And then, you know, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. And so I can certainly remember the days when I would sit there in my, you know, in my house or in my workplace and think, you know, okay, I'm just going to have this many cookies or chips or whatever. And then I'd always go back. And then I'd always go back. And then I'd, you know, the obsessive thinking would just bring me back. And then I look, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So for me, that creates some clarity around we really deeply need this higher power, and we really deeply need a spiritual experience, or, you know, whole inner rearrangement and orientation towards a higher power. And so, you know, for me, this wasn't an illness over which my willpower would be able to conquer. This wasn't an illness over which, honestly, you know, therapy or any sort of like internal self-shame and blame would conquer. This is something with which I need to have a spiritual experience. And so I love how simple this book is. It's there. The only times when I have a problem with the clarity is an internal piece. It's inside of me. This book makes things extremely clear for those of us seeking to recover. And if, you know, if you have similar experiences, if you are new today, please know that this is possible for you. If it was possible for me, it's possible for you. If it's possible for all of us, it's possible for you. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Elaine C. Okay, Laura W., you are up next, followed by Kathy W.
Thanks so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, this paragraph, you know, they're giving me two very clear-cut questions here. If when I honestly want to, I can't quit entirely, or when I'm eating or restricting or drinking, I have little control over the amount I take, I'm probably alcoholic. And, you know, I'm grateful that they allow me to draw my own conclusion here. I never, ever was able to eat 3 M&Ms. I just wasn't. I would eat the whole bag, and then I would skip breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 days and go exercise compulsively. I mean, that's true insanity. But I love the word only. You know, there is no other alternative. You may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Nothing else is going to conquer this. Nothing else is going to help me. Only a personality change rooted in a relationship with God. And the personality change is gradual for me. I've been in the rooms for over 20 years, since 1997. And I find that I've been abstinent only for a little over 14 years. So do the math. The first 9 years, I dabbled in 1, 2, and 3, made a few amends. I redefined my abstinence over and over, when in reality, I was really just redefining my honesty. And, you know, and today, due to the spiritual experience, I really don't know if I've had a spiritual experience. I have a spiritual awakening, kind of like when you wake up in the morning after a long night's sleep and you're kind of groggy and it's a slow awakening. I don't just jump up and, you know, run out the door and start my day. It takes some time. And that's the beauty of this all. There's no finish line here for me. And I've always been a go-getter, like get to the finish line. And with recovery and my life, it's not just, you know, I don't fit recovery into my life. I fit my life into my recovery. And that's the most important thing for me, because I was never an agnostic. But in a way, I was, because it just means without knowledge. I didn't know that my higher power, only a spiritual experience, will conquer this. And thank you, God, that one day at a time, He's guiding me, holding my hand, and giving me that life preserver to hold on to. And this book is the life preserver for me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Kathy W., you are up next, followed by Sandy W.
Good morning. This is Cassie W. in Denver, compulsive reader. And this, like the start of this chapter, I like it because it like sums up everything that we've learned in the previous chapters. But for me, I relate to it because it's step one. It's back to step one. You have to like admit that you're powerless over food. And to do that, you have to be able to diagnose yourself. So we learned how to do that in the previous chapters. But for me, there's a lot of, or there was, is, I don't know what tense there, but like a lot of denial. And like, it's easy to, like you fall into the mental twist and like the behaviors around food become normalized. So for me, it's like, oh, it's like, doesn't everyone eat like I do? Like, doesn't everyone like compulsively exercise? Doesn't everyone like, I don't know, starve yourself after like binging for a whole week? And like, that's the mental twist. And that's also probably like the isolation that comes from this disease. So it's good to like, to go over this and that, like, if when you read the examples of all the alcoholics, like there's no way you can deny, like I relate to these men and women, I guess, I don't think there's women in this book, but anyway, I relate to them on such a level that like, it's almost uncomfortable. Like, I don't like reading the big book, like, wah, wah, poor me. But, like, it's just because I see myself in them. Like, these guys and people, they, like, can't stop drinking long enough to, like, live life. And nothing matters, in a sense. Like, they leave their families. They leave their wives. They leave. They're not able to show up because they're drinking. And that's the essence of the addiction. And I don't like to read that because like I do that. I have trouble showing up for people in my life because I'm too busy focusing on what the scale says. And like, I have really important people in my life that like, I'm not able to show up for. And that's exactly the addiction. And it takes diagnosing and it takes like getting rid of the denial. Like, you have to know, like, are you an alcoholic? Are you not? Are you a compulsive overeater? Are you not? And in the previous chapters, that's the way to diagnose and figure it out. So in a way, like, you have to squash that denial that like, no, I don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with me. Like, this is normal. Like, you have to squash that in order to even get on step one and take the steps and be able to move forward from that. You have to realize. So, sometimes I have trouble with that. I keep falling into like, oh, maybe this is normal, or maybe I just haven't been disciplined enough to find the correct diet or the correct exercise routine or whatever, but it's not normal. So like, I guess I'll just have to keep working on squashing that denial and taking the steps. And I guess with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy W. Okay, before I take Sandy W., a reminder that we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 44, the first paragraph that begins with, in the preceding chapters, you have learned something. And I'll be taking some names after Sandy W. So Sandy W., go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Thanks again so much for your service. So I will round out the W trio. You know, as I read this paragraph, I was just reminded, thinking about how much I did not want to identify as a real compulsive overeater. You know, I kept looking for loopholes, and I tried to complicate the definition to get myself to basically identify out. But this paragraph so beautifully uncomplicates it. You know, just as we know our definition, the allergy, that when I eat my alcoholic foods, I have little control over the amount I'll eat, and the mental twist that even when I'm stopped, I cannot stay stopped entirely. You know, we just finished studying those, what I consider spot-on descriptions of those suffering from the mental twist, and what a dark, desperate place that is. You know, that even after we've put the food down, our crazy thinking can justify picking it back up because, at least in my case, I think I had a bad day or a bunch of days, or I'd forgotten about the pain and suffering that it always caused when I picked the food back up. Or in my mind, even worse of all was for no apparent reason. That's what really got me. You know, when I'd find myself eating foods I knew would cause me to eat uncontrollably and start that binge cycle again, but I'd still find myself in them without a thought as to the doom and gloom ahead.
you know, thank God this book does not leave us just hanging there, but just as this paragraph does, it always reminds us, even before we get to the chapter titled that, that there is a solution. You know, I choose to call him God, and this book certainly has provided for me concrete instructions on how to find him through a spiritual experience as a result of the steps done in entire abstinence. Well, you know, I certainly have grown to love you all and the study of the book that has changed my life. You know, I never dreamed about hanging out on this phone meeting day after day, but, you know, but now there's no place I'd rather be because it's in this work that I am freed from that bondage of our disease and that insanity that's so ruled my life. So thank you all for being here. And thanks again, Kathleen. On that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, who else would like to share on the first paragraph, page 44?
Sarit L.
Clara G.
Sarit L. Was that Devorah G?
Laura.
Okay,
R.
I got Devorah. Okay, hold on. Devorah, and was it Laura R?
Yes.
Kim A.
Kim A?
Yes. Stacy B.
ACB. Okay, let's stop there. I think I have this correct. Sarit L, Sarah G, Devorah, can't remember your first initial, Devorah, Laura R, Kim A, and Stacy B. So go ahead, Sarit L.
Hi, it's Sarit L. I'm just going to raise my volume. Do you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, it's Sarit L. So grateful to be on this phone line live. When you honestly want to. So it speaks, this word honest, we see it all over in the big book, all over. And this program is a program of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. But here it's actually speaking about honesty before we even enter into the step work. It's when we're in the disease. If when we've honestly wanted to stop, while we were eating, was I able to stop on my own willpower? And this honesty, it's like I've heard Kim share about, you can take a lie detector test, you know, and I've said I wanted to stop. I was crying real tears. I wanted to stop. And how many nights was I crying? How many Saturday nights did I cry because I had binged the whole weekend through and now I had to starve my whole Sunday so I could be clean and ready to start my diet on Monday. I was a mess, and I was committed to starting a new diet come what may, and it was Sunday night, and I was going to start again, and then it was already Monday, and I couldn't do it. And so it was real commitments. I had them written down starting from I was maybe 16, 17, and I was desperate because that's how I was going to make friends. I had to be super skinny. I was only going to be happy if I was thin. And everything relied on that. My happiness, my destiny, I was dieting for that occasion till I went home to visit family from college. Everything was X'd off. You know, I was losing weight for that. I was on a diet for this. And that was my life. And so I always wanted to stay stopped. And I could never ever do that. I could never quit entirely, or I could never stay stopped, or I could never have control over what I was eating. And that drove me to do things that even morally I would never have done, like stealing foods from friends' lunch bags and lying, and just the things I've done with food is incredible. And that's the honesty that I have to come to that brings me into the rooms and into step one. That's the denial someone was talking about. It's like if I'm not aware of what I've done, that's insane, then I'm not desperate, you know, to work the next steps or all the steps. So it starts with this honest submission that I am different. I am abnormal in regards to food. And once I can face that, it's like there is a whole beautiful life on the other side when I'm willing to live in the solution. And yet only a spiritual experience will conquer. And yes, I also am a religious person, and I thought I had a higher power, and I do have a higher power, but I am so agnostic in so many areas and blocking my higher power from so many areas of my life. And so these steps have definitely unblocked me so that my higher power can work in me today. And so I'm so happy to be in these rooms, and I'm grateful to be on this journey with all of you. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Sarit L. And Sarah G., you're up next, followed by Devorah.
Hi, this is Clara G.
Oh, Clara, sorry.
Oh, Clara.
Go ahead, Clara.
Okay. Yeah. I liked the clear distinction between an alcoholic and a non-alcoholic. I learned that for me is the physical allergy. Where my friend, let's say my friend who is not a food addict, can eat something and she thinks she needs to lose 20 pounds, but she doesn't have a physical allergy that gives them the manifest into a phenomenon of craving that is like a desperate craving to eat more. She doesn't get that. I do. And so that's what it differentiates me from her. I am an alcoholic addict, food addict, you know, she's not. And then that's not the only problem, because if that was it, then, you know, I just stay away from my alcoholic foods. But the other problem that I have that a normal person may not have is that I keep denying that I have that reaction to my foods. And so I keep on obsessing every once in a while, thinking, well, why can't I have, you know, why can't I eat those things? It's like I completely forget that I have the manifestation of the allergy that is obsessive, desperate craving to eat more. And so for the obsession, I need my higher power to keep me sanity. To give me the sanity, to help me remember, to help me not forget, because all of that is part of my addiction, I guess. And so that's what I think is the clear distinction between me and a non-food addict person who has maybe 40 pounds overweight. Okay, with that I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Clara G. Hey, Devorah, it's, I think it's Devorah S. followed by Laura R. Is it S, Devorah? The first initial of your last name? I'm pretty sure I heard Devorah.
Hi, here I am. Yes, it is Devorah S., and thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, and thank you everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, we agnostics, the title of this chapter, different than the other titles in the book. You know, the other titles in the book were talking about, you know, alcoholism and more about alcoholism, and there is a solution. But now we're getting down to something else here, you know. You know, something people, we don't know, you know, we're doubtful, we're cynical, we're wondering if, you know, can there be a spiritual answer for this experience for me? And, you know, honestly, I could have taken this title, it could have been on the first few chapters as well, because I also, you know, doubted, you know, am I really powerless over the food? Am I really someone like the book described? Am I one of this, you know? I had to relive my experiences through these experiences, and I had to really, you know, realize that me too, I'm one of these as well, and, you know, to really believe that me too, this is for me, you know, this book describes me, and the only way that I can get better is through an experience which only a spiritual experience will conquer, and you know, that was the missing piece of all the years, you know. It's so easy. All of us, we all dieted, right? We all dieted. We all lost the weight, right? We all got into forbidden bodies over the years. You know, no one can doubt that. It all happened. And then what happened is all of a sudden, you know, a couple of months later or whatever, all of a sudden it's like it's back on again. And because I never put a spiritual peace into any dieting that I did, right? And that's what this why this program is. That's the beauty of this program is because it's teaching me that the only way that I can maintain and have the allergy of the body free and the obsession of the mind free is with the spiritual experience. And the only way I can get that spiritual experience is by putting the food down and not picking up my compulsive behaviors and my foods that cause me to binge. And it's like a little cycle over here. And, you know, what goes around comes around. And then what happens is when I do, you know, try to live on a spiritual basis every day, you know, I develop a relationship with God. It takes me away from that self-centered person into a person that, you know, is living in God's, who's striving to live in God's image. And, you know, I never thought that, believe me, I didn't think that that was what I'm going to come here on the meeting about. You know, on this, you know, I always thought that I come on this meeting, learn how to lose the weight, and I'll be on my own. And but I'm back. I'm still here after all these years. I'm still here, and I'm still in a thin body. And I'm, but I'm here because I know that I need to hear from all of you how to develop and how to maintain and how to keep growing this spiritual connection. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah S. Laura R., you're up next, followed by Kim A.
Thank you. This is Laura R. from Colorado, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So stoked. I love the first line. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? I was telling a friend the other day, I said, we are so blessed that we have found this anonymous meeting. You know, this program, it's anonymous, you know, and I am, how did I find it? Seriously, like I did come through another program, but how do we find this? You know, because I needed to know about my disease. And just like the former person was just talking about, like, you know, I did not understand. Like, I was agnostic about, I was in doubt. I didn't think that this was my issue. I just thought I can will my way into a diet and get it. But when I truly learned the nature of my disease, I truly got it that, you know, I have the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. Oh my gosh, like, thank you. I got knowledge, like, you know, which is awesome, but then that alone will not be sufficient. You know, I need a sufficient substitute, which is what it's saying is if that be the case, because now I get it. Oh, you know, we had 43 pages plus doctor's opinion all describing my issue, you know, and if I identify in, okay, if that be the case, then you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Okay, now what? You know, and so thank God for this chapter. Now we're at agnostics. And I remember, I think it was Joe and Charlie, they were talking about how we all are kind of, or at least for me, like they were mentioning that I think that we're all kind of agnostic, or else we would like to truly believe and know and trust that power. And the way I get to trust that power is by doing the clear-cut instructions that are going to come later in this book, because as I start to do the steps, I start to have that experience. And that is how I start to feel and know and trust and experience and see the power of God changing in my life. That certain, like what it says, that we had certain ideas and emotions and they're all one, you know, cast to one side and a new set of, I think, conceptions and ideas start to dominate them. And that comes through working the steps. I am so grateful. Like, I think that it also in this preceding chapter, you have learned something about alcoholism. How important it is for us to carry a solid message, because, you know, maybe one person just dialed in today and it's the only shot they have to maybe get it. I think God's more powerful than that, but, like, you know, just that's why I love A Vision for You, because when I called in and didn't really understand, came from the other 12-step program and then came in here and I'm hearing all these people, my mouth hit the floor, because I have never heard recovery like I did on these lines. And I truly try to get people, not even compulsive overeaters, like other people in other programs, like, you've got to listen to this meeting. Just substitute whatever your problem is for you know, instead of food. Thank you. You know, you got to listen to this meeting. It's just amazing. I love it. So anyway, grateful to be here. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura R. And Kim A, you're up next, followed by Stacey B.
Hi, good morning. This is Kim A. And I want to say I love this chapter, but I really just love the whole big book. Whichever chapter I happen to be reading is like my favorite chapter. And I think for me, what is becoming more and more clear as I study the big book more and more is that food is not my problem. And that sounds kind of like, well, duh, we know that. But what that is taking on for me, that meaning that my sponsor is helping me see, is that, you know, all these years that I quote-unquote got it, I understood the program. I knew it wasn't about food. I knew it wasn't, you know, I knew it was about deepening my spiritual relationship and working the steps and blah, blah, blah. But I was still very much tied to my weighing and measuring, my planning out my food, my calculating everything. And, you know, our minds lie to us. Everything, my best thinking is very delusional. And for me, that was not really working. It didn't seem that way at the time. But, you know, there's a real distinction between having to eat food and trying to control and manage it. And I think that for me, that food plan, weighing and measuring, calculating was, it was part of that need to control. So what this is translating to for me is that, you know, that was all part of my solution. That kept me from being restless, irritable, and discontented, or that was the goal, you know. Now I'm starting to see that, you know, I definitely can't stop on my own, and I definitely can't stay stopped. That was never, like, a question for me. I always knew that. But what is helping me stay stopped is not managing my food. It is stopping trying to figure this out on my own. It's not that there are certain foods that are leading me back into compulsive eating, because my compulsive eating has always just been my solution to my defects that caused me to be restless, irritable, and discontent. My compulsive eating wasn't caused by trigger foods. It wasn't caused by sugar. It wasn't caused by wheat or flour. And looking at things this way is maybe a little bit of a different interpretation of the big book that most people are used to. But, you know, it's kind of like a compulsive gambler who has to use money, just like compulsive eaters have to eat food. But there's a difference between a compulsive gambler, you know, paying their bills and having to buy something at the store, thanks, and using money, and using that as a way to control the restlessness, irritability, and discontent. So I'm still kind of processing all this, but the, you know, the underlying idea is that this is all about my only defense can come from a higher power. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Kim A. So Stacey B, you will wrap us up today, and I hate to cut you short, Stacey, but if you could do about 2 minutes, that would be great. We'll be able to stop on time. Go ahead, Stacey.
Okay, thank you. Yes, this reminds me of when we're supposed to pause and pray when we have this, you know, overwhelming craving. And I was kind of watching TV with learning about dogs, and they have these, you know, these senses. They could smell things. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, we have these olfactory senses as well, where when we smell something, it brings back a memory, and it starts to, we kind of rev up, our body kind of revs up to eat that particular food. And it reminds me of how important, even though physically we have that going on for us, and emotionally it's there because it's going to, we feel like we're going to get something out of it by eating this particular food. It's going to make us just happy. And just like the, you know, we're not that that's just the way our brain and our sensories works with it. And with normal people, they just don't get a charge. We do. We just get this charge, you know. And so I'm just really appreciative of the pause and pray, and that we're able, because, you know, as someone said, sometimes we don't even know why we decide to overeat, and we have no idea. Sometimes we just do it, you know. It could be, you know, just something that's not even triggered by a food, but we just do it. So to me, somebody like me who does have agnostic tendencies needs to stop and pray and just let God take over. And I was around, my girlfriend had a birthday, and there was this certain cake that just, oh, I loved. And they were eating it, and I was like smelling it, and with, yeah, thank you. And of course I wanted it, and cravings are galore, but with that all passed. So thank you.
And thank you, Stacey B. Sorry to cut you short there. And thank you, everyone, for this amazing meeting and your wonderful shares this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Liat TD, Cindy K., Darian K., Jordan L., Sandy W., Kaylee R., and Reggie O. And we are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Jordan L., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Jordan L., recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.